Worldwide KFUO is broadcasting live. Special programming this hour is hosted by Kip Allen.
I am broadcasting live from the Wisconsin Center in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. This is the 66th Lutheran Conference of the Missouri Synod, the regular one. And, of course, we have visitors from all over the world who know about Lutheranism, one of whom, who is with me right now, is Amos Boulay, who is the president of the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Liberia. Sir, would you tell me about your church? Tell me about the status of Lutheranism in the country of Liberia.
Well, I would say for the church is doing well. God is keeping his church alive. It is his church, so he is keeping it alive. And the church is growing. Instead of going to villages and seeking to evangelize, God is doing a new thing. Some villages are even calling on us and saying, can you please come and start a Lutheran church in our village? So that's really a kind of opportunity. But we just believe that, you know, it's an open door and we need to make the most use of it because we don't know how long that is going to last because we see things changing. But for now, we have a new congregation. We having a lot of new baptism where both adults and infant baptism and a lot more are coming to Christ through faith in Jesus.
Well, what is the status of Lutheranism throughout Africa? Now, Liberia is a West African nation. Do you have relationships with other Lutheran bodies and other Lutheran in other countries in the area?
Well, yeah, you have in Liberia, you have the LCMF-related Lutheran, which is the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Liberia, and that is my church. And you also have the ECA group there. They are called the Lutheran Church in Liberia, and just recently, I came to understand the Wisconsin Lutheran is also there, but we didn't know because they don't carry the name. I think they carry the initial, but they have various names, and so there are other Lutheran groups.
What about the neighboring countries like Ghana or Sierra Leone, the Lutheran bodies in those countries?
Oh, yeah. Even in Ghana, you have the ECA Lutheran, you have the LCMF Lutheran. But the LCMF Lutheran is bigger in Ghana, you know. I've been to, you know, the Ivory Coast, I've been to Togo, and you have Lutheran churches. And basically, they are all telling me about growth. There are other challenges. Islam is moving, but the church, God is equally keeping his church alive.
Well, tell me a little bit about Liberia and about its people. I know it's one of the oldest of the independent nations of Africa.
Oh, yeah, Liberia is like the oldest independent nation, especially I would say in Black Africa. In 1816, it started as a result of the ACS, that the American Colonization Society, repatriating free blacks to what they call their homeland. I use the word to what they call because I'm not sure they were all from Liberia, but basically Liberia was choosing to be the place where they were going to settle them. And between 1816 to 1823, they had already repatriated up to 16,000 Liberians, 16,000 blacks to Liberia. And in fact, the name Liberia, which is like liberty, it stems from the word liberty, means free. They wanted these free blacks to be to a place where they would have freedom to set up their own leadership and run their own course of affairs. So basically, that's how Liberia started. And of course, the capital is Monrovia, named after President James Monroe. So it's a lot of connection between Liberia and America because that's how the country was started. And some people say, but before then, what? Were there people? Well, yes, you had tribesmen living there, but basically, it was not established as a nation, as a recognized state. There was no standing army. There was no unified government. So it's these three blacks from the United States who were basically called American Liberians. They went there and set up a government pattern after that of the U.S., you know, with three branches of government, the executive, the legislature, and the judiciary, and had president, the first president, of course, Joseph Jenkins Roberts, you know, one of the three blacks from America. And so basically they carry their faith along with them. So basically Liberia became known as a Christian nation. Of course, right now politicians and other religions are fighting against that. So basically we would say it's a secular state, but predominantly Christian.
Sort of like the United States, where our government is secular, but our people are Christian.
Oh, yeah.
So what is the status of Liberia now? I know it's had a very difficult past in the last few decades. It's gone through a period of civil wars and some civil unrest.
Right. Like I mentioned, these three blacks from the United States and the tribesmen that they met in Liberia, you know, that was the start of the problem, because when these American Liberians came, they set up the government and they were basically in control of the government. They were heading the government. And this, I believe it was growing and getting fermented gradually. And finally, this brought about a big civil war in 1990, where a rebel movement led by Charles Taylor, you know, was kind of brought in to unseat the first native Liberian government that was led by Samuel Kayado, because President Samuel Kayado became the first native Liberian to become president. And so 1990, we had a brutal civil war, and that went on all the way to 2002. Basically, it stopped in 2003, and we had the first elected female president, Ellen Johnson Sirleaf. And so there have been relative peace in Liberia, and we want to say thanks to the United States and the United Nations for all the help they gave in bringing about peace. Except, again, most recently, we had this Ebola. Mm-hmm. We had the Ebola epidemic, and that was deadly. In fact, some people would say Ebola became more deadly than even the war, because that was terrible. I mean, it was just something. Again, we want to say thanks to your government. But specifically, I'd like to say thanks to the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. They were the first, they came in and worked through our church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Liberia, and we were out there giving relief or giving food to people who were trapped in that Ebola situation, and helping with a lot of things like, chloride that people would use to wash their hands, because that was one of the things health authorities said people needed to keep washing their hands, and you know, a lot of things. So we help in other areas, and before others started coming in to help. So basically, it was the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that really started assisting people with food, because one of the things was you had to quarantine people, and if you quarantine people, then it means they are not going to be able to move around, they won't be able to find food. So we started supplying people with food and assisting various hospitals in Liberia.
Well, that was one of the things I wanted to bring up and to address, was the concept of the LCMS disaster relief, where we do go to the scene where we are needed. And as you pointed out, of course, the U.S. government helped as well, and other governments around the world. But in terms of non-governmental aid, you know, we're there. The idea being that we already have people on the ground like you, like our fellow Lutherans, wherever they are in whatever country.
Yeah.
And so that we can get the aid, they can tell us what is needed, where it's needed, and we can get it there because we've got the people both here and on the ground ready to go.
Oh, yeah. And interestingly, the help from LCMS was not only used for, you know, LCMS-related people in Liberia, like, say, for only people of the Evangelical Lutheran Church, but it was for all people without discrimination.
Yes.
I mean, be it Muslim, be it whatever faith, we just help everybody, hand sanitizer and a lot of things, giving relief to the people all across Liberia.
Well, that's part of being a Christian, I think, actually, is that, you know, the charity is for all. I was speaking to a missionary from Indonesia about a year or so ago, and he was talking about the relief effort that went on following the horrible tsunami that struck that country, which is predominantly Muslim. And the LCMS was right there, helping charity, giving it out to everybody. And the missionary had said that he had several of the leaders of the Muslim community had come up to him at aftermath and saying, why are you doing this? We're Muslims. We're not Christians.
Mm-hmm.
And he replied, well, we're doing it because we are Christians.
Yeah, yeah. People were so touched. I believe, you know, relief with the gospel, I don't think it's two separate things. I think it's one thing. It's all about giving people the gospel, because the gospel is the good news. So they have the good news about the salvation of their souls, but they have the good news of, you know, human care, where they are being cared for. And they just see Jesus in that. It's like as we're going out extending Ebola relief supplies to hospitals and to places, people were really seeing Jesus in action through the work of the church.
And of course, the message of Jesus, one of the messages that he has carried to us, is that of service.
Right.
And the idea being that, of course, good works will not do anything about getting us into heaven, but the idea being that we follow the example of Jesus, and we know that that example means service.
Right, right.
And this is part of what we do.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also been very impressed with the spirit of brotherhood within the Lutheran communities in other countries. Mm-hmm. Could you give some examples of the community within Liberia where people have come together to help each other?
Well, yeah, a lot of that takes place where people come together to help each other. And just the fact that I'm a Lutheran, I can move all across almost Africa. I can go to, like, I went to Nigeria, and the bishop of the Church of Nigeria, Bishop Akon, he kind of hosted me for 10 days. You know, I can go to Ghana. Even without money in my pocket, I would be taken care of by fellow Lutherans. So that is really something that is just great, because you almost have a home everywhere, all because your Lutheran brothers and sisters are there. And basically, we even help non-believers. You know, it's not just the Lutheran. It's about helping people. People come to our churches. And, you know, in Africa, a lot of people don't realize you need to have money to kind of pay for a hotel or a motel. They just travel, and the church is open, and we are assisting people in every way. So.
What are some of the services that your church in Liberia offers?
Well, like right now, a lot of the things we are doing, we want to say again, thanks to the LCMF, they are really standing with us and supporting us, like the Lutheran Malaria Initiative. We kind of spreading the message of malaria, how to get, you know, how to be protected against mosquito bite, you know, distributing mosquito nets, educating people about keeping your surrounding clean, because mosquito are parasites that are mainly, you know, bred in dirty water,
or
in
water,
just, you know, a kind of environment that is not very clean. And so we are educating people about keeping your home clean and just keeping your surrounding needs, sleeping under nets. So we are doing that, and just a lot of things in other areas.
Well, malaria is a major problem in West Africa, I understand. It's a huge killer.
Well, yeah. In fact, if I would say it's the highest killer of infants. You know, most babies die all because of malaria. For adults, somehow it seems to be they are a little bit immune to it to some extent. You know, I mean, not that they are completely free. I mean, a lot of adults die, but mainly the kids. The kids die a lot from malaria. And so the work of the Lutheran Malaria Initiative through the Evangelical Lutheran Church of Liberia, that's just another thing. And educating the mm-hmm. kids. You have the Children Christian Concern Society that is now lead a child. They are also assisting us with the education of kids, where kids have, you know, they have to go to school and get a good education. And of course, a Christ-centered education, this is done through Lead a Child. So they are helping up to about 5,000 kids in Liberia. So, you know, you are kind of supporting us financially, and we are there doing the work. It's a partnership, and we just thank God for it.
What are the services? For example, you broached a little bit upon education here.
Education, water well, malaria prevention, physical relief in terms of clothing, in terms of food aid. We are involved in all of those things. And just helping people to also realize that they are unique, they are important, and, you know, that they gain self-confidence. That's another thing that, you know, we are involved in.
It's truly a witness. I guess it's probably the best way to describe it. We are doing this as a witness to God.
It's a witness.
And especially, I look at you and where you are, you're on the ground. I mean, you obviously you have the connections here in the United States mm-hmm. with the headquarters. But the responsibility that weighs on your shoulders for the people in Liberia as the president of your church, mm-hmm. And how you can coordinate all of this with the various congregations throughout your country. It's quite a task.
Oh, yeah, it's a task. But what a blessing to have a helper when you have a task, you know. And that's exactly what the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is, you know, helping us out, working with us, and just standing with us and supporting us financially, and most of all, supporting us in prayer. Like one day, I got a little card, and it was said, Amos, we are praying for you. And guess what? This was from the Concordia Seminary. And they said, Amos, today in our chapel service, we did pray for you. That was so comforting. That was so encouraging.
That must have been an incredibly warm thing for you.
Yeah, I just said, wow, I'm being prayed for, you know, out there, across the ocean, you know, at the Concordia Seminary.
Well, you are attending here at the 66th Convention of mm-hmm. the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. What message are you carrying to this convention? What do you hope to gain from it?
Well, basically, as you know, the theme is, upon this rock, I will build my church. and that is Jesus is the rock and Jesus is the truth. So upon this truth, today we are being troubled by powerful governments almost trying to compare our government to accept this business of gay marriages, you know, all this sort of thing. Like in my country, they will mainly talk about homosexuality and, you know, just standing against things like that. And because people in Africa, they believe in a marriage of a man and a woman. So in Liberia, even the women of Liberia just hate to hear anything about gay marriages because it's going to really kind of deprive them from being supported. Most women in Africa are supported by their husbands. And when you talk about men marrying a man or a woman to a woman, so it's like they are going to be left with a husband. So you know, issues like abortion and all these things, I just believe these are things that people in Africa stand against. And to see that the Lutheran Church Missouri is not, is really kind of standing on that and saying that the Bible is the same yesterday, today, and forever, I think that's a great message, and that's something that we just cherish, you know, and we just thank God for it. So basically, I mean, there are a lot of people that believe that in America today, it's very difficult to see churches standing for the truth of the gospel, but we still see that the Lutheran Church Missouri is not continue to stand on the truth of the gospel. And we just pray God for that.
That is one of the, I think, one of the major appeals of the Missouri Synod is our constancy, you know, our consistency. We do not vary from our doctrine.
Right.
The Bible is clear.
Yeah.
This is our doctrine. This is our message. Mm-hmm. We go to other denominations where they say, well, we know the Bible says this, but it really means this.
Yeah.
And that's not the way we operate.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes people say, well, but what is your doctrine? You know, of course, I know everyone will quickly say, I believe the Bible, but I say, well, to really know Lutheran doctrine is to know the Bible. The Bible is the doctrine. It's the teaching of Christ, standing on that and believing that, and not just, you know, not just saying it, but believing it, confessing it, and teaching it is what we stand for. So I think that's great. I tell people once you change in one area, then there is a potential to just change in another area, and before you look, you are gone away from the truth.
Yeah. Then there is problem.
So consistency is very important. Consistency, especially standing upon the truth.
And the truth is the Bible, of course. What experience do you have in dealing with non-Christians, whether they're Muslims or whether they're people who adhere to the traditional religions of Africa? How do you deal with them?
Well, personally, I have come to understand that the best way of dealing with people of different faith is to show them love. I think love is so powerful. No wonder why the Bible says God is love. And you know, I always say to people, I believe the key verse in the Bible is St. John 3:16. For God so loved the world. So showing love, even the Muslim will respond to love. Even the Buddhist will respond to love. People of the traditional religion will respond to love. So as we show love to people and just be willing to listen to them and be willing to hear from them, then you just open doors to their heart and they will also be willing to listen to you. So basically, I just believe that we need to go to places, show love to people, and by that means we are able to share the love of God with them. And eventually, we can be able to let them know Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life.
Are you trying, I'm sure you are you trying to spread the message to those who haven't had it yet, to bring congregations to areas where they don't have a Lutheran congregation?
Well, yeah, in fact, we do that a lot. In fact, you know, like sometimes I hear people, it's like they don't want to embarrass people by sharing their faith with them. But we do that boldly in Liberia, going to people of other religions and sharing our faith with them, witnessing to them, you know, the gospel of Jesus. And we have seen conversion taking place in Liberia, Muslims becoming Christians. Oh, yes, a lot of that. Right in our Lutheran schools, some of the Muslim kids in the school are becoming Christians. And so specifically, right in my local church school, there is this girl who was a Muslim, and she would hide to come to church. Eventually, her father said, if that is what you want to be, then I will allow you but be serious about it. And so she became a member of the choir, and to today she is a Christian in our church. And so a lot of that is taking place, yeah.
That's good news.
Mm-hmm.
How do you get training over there for the pastors? I don't think Liberia has a seminary, does it?
No, that's one of our major challenges. I would say there are a lot of challenges, but that's one of the very major ones, because we do not have a seminary. And with all this good news about people saying Africa is the future of the church, more people are coming to faith in Jesus Christ. But I think we need to teach them, you know, solid teaching, a real solid Bible teaching. And we need to be able to help them to understand what they say they believe, to understand what they say they are part of. If they are Christians, they should know what it means to be a Christian. Someone said Christianity in Africa is a mile wide but an inch deep. So basically we need training for our pastors. Right now, we do not have a seminary, and we already purchased 20 acres of land. And of course, we are seeking help. We don't have the money to build a seminary, but that's one thing we really look up to. We really want to have a seminary. But up to this point, we are only teaching through workshops. We have some core of men who come from Wyoming to teach our pastor. And one, Dr. Haynes, have a kind of ministry. They come also to Liberia to teach our pastor. They stay for about 10 days. So, again, we have some people coming, some pastors of the LCMF coming and holding workshops to help teach our pastors. And on our own, of course, we do have workshops teaching our pastors, so basically. But they need teaching. Yeah, we really need teaching for our pastors.
Do you have students in our seminaries here, Fort Wayne and in St. Louis?
Yeah, basically. In fact, that's one way. That's really our strategy. We say, teach some of us, and we will go ahead to teach the others. So right now you have Simon Dippy, as I speak, he is at the Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. You also have James Colley, he is at the seminary in Fort Wayne. And we are even hoping that one Edward Colley will come to the St. Louis Seminary in August. So we again want to say thanks to the LCMS for training these men, you know, because they will be able to go out back to Liberia to train the others, like me. Yeah, that's what I'm doing now. I came to the Concordia Seminary, and I got trained, and now I'm in Liberia helping my people.
Well, and I'm sure that we want to extend our thanks to you and to your brothers who are in the seminary.
Thank you for helping us to
carry out our mission as well. We couldn't do this without you. Right. You know, a bunch of foreigners coming in, we can do some things, but
yeah,
it's really got to be on the ground level, and this is what you do.
Oh yeah, and we say thanks to you, because at least you are teaching us to go back and teach our people. Like one of your ordained pastor, but a Liberian, Right Reverend Arthur W. Zoga from Philadelphia, he just took a transfer back to Liberia, and he is there greatly helping with the work of teaching, and he even, you know, kind of building. He already got through building a church. There is a school, and he's doing a lot. He was an LCMS pastor in Philadelphia. So again, we say, teach us so that we go back and teach our people.
It's the old, I'm sure you've heard the old saying, you know, give a man a fish, he'll eat today. Teach him to fish, he'll eat always.
Right.
And this
is
pretty much what's being done here.
Right.
And it is a wonderful thing. What specific teaching or learning things do your people, your pastors need to know to pick up here at our seminaries to carry the message back in their countries? Are there areas where perhaps we could improve in our teaching of seminarians from other countries?
Well, I really definitely believe that first and foremost is sound doctrine, which is the confession, what we believe, teach, and confess. We need to get our hand on that very well. And so, in fact, that's why I did systematic theology. And then there are other areas like pastoral ministry, church administration. We may not be able to 100% transport everything you teach us, but at least I said to someone, we are using about 80%. And I think that's good enough, because we know the culture of our people. You don't have to teach us that. You don't have to teach us culture about, you know, the culture of our people. You don't have to teach us about how to relate to our people. But a lot more that you know, you need to teach us so that we are able to better kind of do the administrative work of the church as well, organizing and a lot of things.
Yeah. President Pelley, I want to thank you very much for taking the time to speak to our people and to let us know what's going on in Liberia and what we can do to help and what you have done to help us.
Thank you.
And indeed you have. Remember, it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
We are learning as much from you as you are from us. And God bless you for you and your efforts.
Thank you so much. I'm glad to be here. Thank you very much for this opportunity.
And we will be back after these messages.